gates. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for the grace of God. Oh, my God, that knew us and loved us and blessed us and placed us in eternity before you ever placed us, encapsulated us temporarily in these bodies. You knew us and you made us a part of you. And we just come to say, thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And God that has washed us and cleansed us, made us every bit whole. Now, Father, we pray that you bless us this day. Oh, Father, hallelujah. As we bring you the message. My Father, we ask, Lord, that you touch my body this morning. That I may minister the word of God. And then bless these lips of clay. And bless us in this hour. As we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is what is traditionally known as Easter. We went through the traditional Good Friday 2 days ago. And of course, I'm not going to stand here this morning and go through the history of all of these things. We are basically here to focus on the real deal. What is the real deal? The real deal is resurrection. See, Easter holiday, the church, somehow they wedded to the pagan practice of the goddess Esther. Translated, or transliterated, I guess, Easter. And it's really a pagan holiday, but we won't get into all of that. We're not here to fight with anyone this morning. And of course, some of us said, then why are you observing it in any way? Well, traditionally the church has brought in resurrection. And of course, anytime anybody's going to talk about Jesus, we're going to help them. But we will set the record straight as to what we're doing and why we're doing. Pastor used to always say, always know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Because after you find out what it is, you might not want to do it. But then if you do it, you at least know what you're doing and why. Each one of you should have this document. Spiritual Eternal Awareness. And for those that are watching by way of our webcast, amen. Yes, this is Pastor Cutler standing, ministering just this one time this morning. Amen. I'm still under some doctor's orders, and we have within the next week or so what we're praying to be our final procedure. And after that, and a period of recuperation, I'm hoping somehow, of course, it's up to the Lord to be back in the pulpit preaching before the year's out. But you've been ministered too. We thank God for these ministers. Haven't they? My God, I know my soul has been fed. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. I want you to turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Normally when we go to homegoings, something is always read. Homegoings with something is always read from this passage. And some have looked at it as a funeral or a homegoing message. Some say a death message. No, this is about life. Resurrection. Everybody say resurrection. That's our focus this morning. Amen. As we were conveying for tidbit there in Sunday school, you were, according to Ephesians, placed in Christ in eternity. That's where you were saved. Before the foundation of the world, before you were ever placed or encapsulated into these bodies, those of us who are God's elect, and only you know whether you are God's elect. I take your testimony and you have to take mine. Amen. But according to Romans chapter 8, he allows us to know whether we belong to him, because the Spirit ministers to our spirit and let us know that we belong to him. But we were placed there first, and we have never left there. Listen to me. We're in a time capsule that was created for the purpose of testimony. And everything concerning you was prearranged, predetermined, preset. And of course, the majority of Christendom, they won't preach that, because it destroys the evangelistical ministry, they say. In other words, we got to go out and save souls. Well, if you didn't save yourself, how are you going to save? And many won't go to Ephesians because it tells us that he placed us in him in eternity, before time. And time is a testimony. Repeat after me for this document. This is just a preview now. This document, you will see a lot of in the coming years. Repeat after me. Spiritual.
Spiritual.
Eternal.
Eternal.
Awareness.
Awareness.
That's what the ministry is really about. Too many of God's people don't know who we are. And that's why we think like the world, we act like the world, and react like the world to the world. But we have a distinct advantage that we belong to God where? In eternity. In eternity.
Yes. Amen.
Before you ever open your eyes and the doctor smack you on the back, or the midwife, in my case.
That's right.
You belong to him. Mm-hmm. Someone asked the question, where do we go when we die? Mm-hmm. Answer to the question is, where did you come from? Mm-hmm. Prefix re means what?
Again.
Again. You go back from where you came from.
That's right.
Said, home going. Where's home?
Christ.
We're in the natural. Where's your home? Where you came from.
Yes.
You know, they always say, we are going back home. I'm going, a lot of people that retire say, well, I'm going back home. And that's what happens when you share this body.
That's right. Bring it up.
You don't only go home, you go back home.
Hallelujah.
That is your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've never left home.
Never left.
We have a document that we will probably spend the rest of the year giving excerpts on. The eternal now. What is now? Everybody said now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That one's gone.
Amen. Yes.
But when you say eternal now, you're saying what is and what cannot be interrupted.
Amen.
What is not sequence.
No.
You see, existence is uninterruptible. We think of our existence on earth. You're born.
Yes, thank
Then you're a toddler. Then you're a child, and then you go through those those two stages where you run your parents crazy. Your adolescence first. I don't know which one is the worst. Teenager adolescence. They're both trying. And then you grow up, going to school. Hopefully you've gotten some type of education, either profession or some type of trade, and then you get a job, and then you get married. Do it in that order. Then you look up one day and you're like me, you've got your children are grown and they have children. And then like me, their children are grown, and somewhere in the future they'll have children. So you go from being a child to a teenager to an adult to what they call middle age. And then old age. It's kind of hard to say. My brother and I, we were talking, we have a family reunion. We used to look around and talk about the old people. You know who the old people are in the family reunion now? We are. Because the old people that were there in that time, the elderly, the senior citizens, I better clean that up. I'll get a letter from somebody. They've transitioned on. I was teaching the youth some years ago, and I picked a year. I said 2065, and of course I asked the class, I said, where will you be in 2065? And they began to add their age to the time that was there. And they said, I'd be an old person. Then I said, where do you think I'll be? And they looked at me all sheepish. Where I've always been. In the body of Christ. Who was that in The Wizard of Oz? I learned that from Ella Lilly. Dorothy. Why, she was out there fooling around with the wizard and the witches and all of that. All the time she was laying in her bed. While you're here going through the hustle and bustle of life, all the time, if you belong to him, you're in the body of Christ. Give God a praise. Chapter 1 Corinthians, and we'll have to kind of go through this pretty quickly this morning. Amen. Like I said, we've got other business to take care of this today before it's out, and I'm very cautious of the time. Normally I preach an hour, but I won't do that this morning. In this passage, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and of course, this was a very tough bunch. Tough. Because they were so carnal. Now, that word carnal, I'm going to identify it. I'm going to define it. It simply means worldly. In other words, they were so focused on what they perceived, could taste, touch, physical handling. To them, they couldn't see anything else. They could resonate. It was tough ministering to them. And of course, some of them were very wealthy people. Oh, yes. Here comes Paul, this little beggarly poor straggly minister, sick and broke, coming into them, talking about eternal wealth. And so that was a tough job. Of course, who is the teacher?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit is the teacher. Amen. Here, as I've said, he starts out, and I'm just for the sake of contextualizing here. In chapter 1, he talks about what he preached and how they have received it, have been caused to receive it, and through it they're saved. And then he distinguishes the gospel of grace from the kingdom gospel, and he distinguishes himself from the kingdom apostles. Paul did not take Judas' place.
No.
Acts chapter 1, who took his place?
Matthias.
And here Paul talks about the 12. So if he's saying the 12, he's saying that in the third person. Now what had happened is that from the time of Christ's crucifixion, time has passed. And they had been told that he was coming back. And you know how it is. So you tell people something's going to happen and some time passes, you're in trouble. And so there were some that were debating the resurrection. What is resurrection? What is resurrection? So here Paul gives them an understanding, and we need to know what resurrection is. Resurrection is not about death. Resurrection is about life. Your salvation is about your life. The definition of salvation is what? Your eternal relationship with God, which is life, which is life. The most important thing concerning you. Because if you go through all of those changes and you get old and you're out of here, and we're all going to punch the clock sometime if Jesus tarries, then what has this all been about? Whatever degrees you got, you leave them here.
Absolutely.
Whatever family you have been associated with, you're leaving them. Whatever possessions you have,
yes,
you're leaving those.
Yes.
So what has life been about? Well, here Paul points them to the essence of what life really is. It is Christ. Let us look at the document. Spiritual eternal awareness. No one can know or understand life through physical or natural relating. Does everyone have the document? No one can know or understand life through physical or natural relating outside of God. This is not possible because life itself can only be defined spiritually. That is, according to God. Everybody say according to God.
According to God.
Everything is according to God. According to God. I know we think everything is according to us. Because many of us like to think that we are the center of the universe. And everything revolves around us, even God. He's somewhere out there on the roof, feeding stuff into us as we please him. No. Life is about him.
Yeah.
Continue reading. Thus, actuality, everybody say actuality, can only be expressed through the absolute superiority of God via the Holy Spirit. So God has to let us know through his word what life really is. The exact testimony of our life can only be documented through God's word. Nope, you're not going to get it through dreams. Why the minister comes in here and he said, I had a vision. I said, oh boy. should have learned with the word. But then still, let me know what's in this book.
Yes. That's it. Yes.
Because there's anything else we can trust. We can only know God as He does what? Reveals Himself to us.
Yes.
Even though what's happening in your life, you got to look into the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's tough for some of us because what's real to us is what is before us. As we shall find out this morning in a few minutes. Don't trust your eyes. So the essence of archaeology can only be known through eternal awareness granted in our minds and our spirit. What is awareness? That is comprehension of what things are. In one place, Paul writes, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And many have taught us that it's the Holy Spirit. Now, when you look into the context, so even if you look at the Greek word there for treasure, it is the same Greek word that is transliterated into English, thesaurus. You go to a Webster dictionary, and it gives you a litany of words to give you more comprehension as to what the word that you are focusing on is. So it simply means enhanced comprehension. And what he was talking about was spiritual. What is spiritual? Many of us don't know what spiritual is. Spiritual is the world of God said, period. Not mystic, not funny. Because everything in existence is according to God's saying.
Yes.
Hebrews 11:3. We don't have time to go there this morning.
Glory.
And so what exists, what is what God is saying. In other words, nothing can come into being except God has said it.
Yes.
Eternal. What is eternal? Everlasting. Continuous.
Yes.
Uninterruptible. Now you know you're not going to look around at anything on this earth and be able to affix that term to what you encounter. Awareness. Comprehension. In the know. Knowing. Everybody said knowing. Eternal knowing. This is really what the message and the ministry is about. Listen to me this morning. In order to appreciate God,
yes,
and the sacrifice of Jesus, mm-hmm, you must know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
God help us not to have to leave this body, wake up in the arms of Jesus and finally appreciate who He is. But to know Him in the power, oh my God. That's right. Doctor said, don't get into it. Oh, in the power of His resurrection. What is that? That is the awareness of who you really are in Him.
Yes.
This life is so short.
Short.
I think a few days ago, a woman, 114, the oldest woman alive,
yes,
passed. Now you add that up. Let's deal with round numbers so that I don't have my calculator here. If you live 100 years, you have lived 1,200 months. You have lived 5,365 and maybe a quarter days. That's a long time compared to forever. It is only a drop in the ocean.
That's it.
We are eternal beings, but most of us can't appreciate it because we're so bombarded with the things that are around us. To really appreciate life, we must have this awareness. Back to the document. And I won't finish the document, but you take it with you. It is this awareness that distinguishes, are you with me? What God has mirrored in reflection of our lives. In other words, manifestation is for testimony only. We went through the document, and it's on our website for those that may be tuning in for the first time, under Doctrine of the Discourses. We have volume 1 and 2, some 300 and some pages, 100 and some 50 some pages each. Actualization, scripture distinctions, actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. What are we talking about? God spoke everything into existence, so what really exists and is actual is in God's word, in Him. And what you see and what we encounter,
yes,
and what we experience in this life, quote, this life, is only a reflection of a portion for testimony. And sometimes it is a refraction because God is light, and as the light goes out, depending upon the angle you look at it, it could be a reflection instead of a refraction, I should say, instead of a reflection. So what you're looking at, you think you're looking at, that's why five people can see it. An accident, and ask them to testify and get five different renditions depending upon the angle they were looking at. So that's the way life is. What you think is bad, it's not always bad. Sometimes it's good. Joseph?
Oh, yes.
His brothers sold him, and you know the story, and at the end, they thought he was going to get even with him. He said, no. See, you didn't do me bad, you did me good, because see, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So we have two nations that would have starved if you hadn't sold me into slavery. Mm-hmm. Now we're not saying that you go out and you do this, that, and the other, so forth. We're saying that God takes the bad and what you look at as bad, and He uses it for good. All right, that's just a tidbit, won't cost you nothing. There's total physical limitations of human functions as the conveyance of communication with God, the creator of the universe. Aside from His granting of such, which is identified as spiritual death, what is that? It's the very opposite of life. What we call life is not life. If it's temporary, it's not life. Life is existence. Existence is uninterruptible. Because you can say, well, He did exist, but He doesn't exist anymore, but he never did exist. Not in the essence of what the word existence means. This state of separation, which is really what spiritual death is, have the Greek word thanatos. It means separation from God. That's what it really is. And we're going to read in a few minutes and we'll see that Paul doesn't use thanatos. When he speaks of sleep, it's a different sleep. Because what happens in sleep? You get to wake up. Separation from God. This state of separation from God renders humans with a measured capacity to communicate, but absolutely no ability to fellowship with the eternal awareness of life itself. That is God. 1 Corinthians 2:11 speaks of natural man knoweth the things of a man or what the man is thinking. If I know what I'm thinking, you know what you're thinking, but we don't know what each other is thinking. By the same term, the Holy Spirit knows what God is about. And he has to communicate that to our spirits, and he doesn't do it for everyone. So that's the essence of it. Okay, we're going to go into this next paragraph and then we're going to stop there today. As we said, we have some other things to do. In this 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, Brother Elder, let's start reading at the 42nd verse. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. Now they had asked Jesus a question to contextualize it. Because in one of these verses, he said, "Awaken to righteousness and sin not." Now, if that is correctly exegeted, correct exegesis of that, that word is in the aorist tense, awaken, and it's in the imperative mood. Imperative mood is a what?
Command.
Come on, fellas, come on. Amen. And the aorist tense is what?
Yeah.
So here you have a completed command. So he said to them as a command, awaken and sin not. That was puzzling to them. But when he was talking about the only way you can be awakened and sin not is that you're in glorified form. And he said, most of you don't know what I'm talking about, and I say that to your shame.
That's it.
And then he said, now somebody's going to ask me, by what body am I going to be resurrected? And Paul said, that is a very foolish saying. And then he gets into this passage here. Everybody got it? Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with the 42nd verse.
Oh, amen. Everybody got it? Say amen. Come on now. Give me about 15 more minutes and then I'm down.
Verse 42. Mm-hmm. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Mm-hmm. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory,
mm-hmm.
it is sown in weakness.
He's telling what kind of body, of what form. Go ahead.
It is raised in power.
Mm-hmm.
It is sown a natural body,
mm-hmm.
it is raised a spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is written,
mm-hmm.
the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual.
Now you know what has confused many, and this is why you cannot just go in, pick out something and read it. Look at the context. Look at the question. What body? Now, Brother Deacon, you have your Greek lexicon there, right? Those verbs that are there, is sown, is raised, is what are they? No, that's what?
Is raised, present, and
In present. We know what the present tense is. That's in English. Mm-hmm. What is the indicative mood?
Fact.
It's a fact. What he was talking about is what is inherent and what exists in glorified form, in awakened form, in no more sinning form. I mean, you know you're not talking about these bodies. At least I'm not talking about this one. You can speak for yourself. No. The present tense there. Let's read this. In the contextual inquiry, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 state, so also, I'm reading now in the Greek translation, the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. See the antigen of each one of these. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Then he said, there is a natural body and a spiritual body. And he goes through and he explains this. Uh-huh. Amen. The language of each one. Here, note that the language of existence in these verses connotes eternal awareness. Everybody again say eternal awareness.
Eternal awareness.
He's asking that question. As a member of the body of Christ, you are not physical. You are spiritual. What is spiritual? According to God.
Yes.
You are not an individual body. You are a member of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Member. That is a component. Again, everybody say eternal awareness. That's what all of this ministering and teaching and talking and conveying these scriptures to God's people about. To get you to know who you are and where you are. Who you are in Christ. Where you are in Christ. That's the you, the real you. The eternal you. The never ending you. When you close your eyes, my friend, that's not the ending. Resurrect. That is the awakening that he talked about. That is the essence of your existence where sin is no more problem. That's why they asked him, what kind of body would that be? And so he takes them to the essence. And this is what the ministry should be ministering on and focusing on. And this is what the ministry has to prioritize.
That's it.
Now listen, we're not saying that what you are doing now is not important. Here the main word is prioritize. Remember now, if you, we talked about the essence of existence, and you have something that's forever and something that's 100 years, if you want to say. 100 years versus forever, it's like a drop in the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. Or both. So if you got something that's temporary and physical and decaying, and you got something that's eternal,
yes,
and forever,
yes,
should be a no-brainer. But we've been preached so much about our stuff. Get my stuff back from the devil. You shouldn't want it if he's had his hands on it. Lord, give me something new, because it's defiled. But it should be a no-brainer. And so resurrection is about you forever. But we don't think that way.
No, we don't. No. Amen. I'm merciful.
some years ago, I weighed 140 pounds, and of course, I'm back up to 2-something now. Thank God. I had gone down to about 160. My illness, but all my hair was black. And those that knew me then, change. Everybody said change. There's no security in change. That's why when I'm counseling a couple of them to get married, I said, "Now, make sure that you love the person, because what you see is not going to always be." Hair is gray, got all kind of illnesses and sicknesses, and I thank God for a good wife.
Amen.
Through sickness, through whatever, because the change is coming.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yes.
There's no hope in change, because even if it changes for the better, sooner or later it's going to get worse.
Amen.
If you sick and you get well or healed, what happened to Lazarus? He died. Jesus resurrected him, but not really. They loosely used that term. Jesus brought him back into earth consciousness. Where's Lazarus today? He's not here. There's no security in change. The only hope you have is an eternal hope. Your hope is in Christ. Your life is in Christ. And this is what the ministry has failed to teach. And this is why many times when they get to homegoings, especially if it's been what we call a tragedy, the ministry is lost for words to explain what has happened. What has happened? God has individual plans for individual lives. And even if in this life you have a tough time, you still praise Him. Because your eternal life has no problem. Give Him praise. No problem. No problem. I'm going to finish this up. The language of existence, I'm in the middle of the second paragraph, and that's all where we're going today. You take this home with you. It connotes eternal awareness where there are no progressions of development and no sequencing in time. Can you imagine that? No processes of life, as all are expressed in completions, in eternal awareness. In eternity, everything is complete. Nothing changes. In life, everything changes. In eternity, nothing changes. In life, everything is in some process. Whether you look at it as progress or digress, in eternity, everything is. Everything is.
Yes.
We have the verbs there. Spirete is sown, and eirete is raised. As in all the rest, they're all in the present tense. Listen to this, passive voice. God has arranged it. Now, many times we don't like what God has planned for us. Oh, you know you don't. I mean, you don't dare say anything about it, but you don't really like it.
Preach it. Amen.
No, and sometimes it gets really serious. I counseled a couple some years ago. The child was stillborn. And the mother said to me, she said, "It's not fair." I said, "What's not fair?" She said, "I went, did all my prenatal care, Some of these women out here just having babies on the street, and their baby lived and my baby died. I said, well, who are you saying is unfair? And of course, we won't dare go there, will we? And I don't advise you to go there. Then I had to explain. God has individual plans and agendas for individual lives. And because your baby didn't breathe for maybe 3 minutes or maybe no minutes in this terrain that we call life, if that one belonged to God, all it did was skip the misery. Oh, some of y'all don't like this. And so some 100 years, some 50 years, some young people died, some teenagers. My oldest brother, who I never got to know, any of us got to know, he lived about 3 or 4 days, my mother's first child. Some will not even breathe 3 minutes. Has God done the one any better than the other? According to who? Not according to God. Remember, time is a creation. And in eternity, there is no time. And if you're with Christ eternally, what difference does it make how long you lived or didn't live? Or went through changes or didn't go through changes? Mother Benning, that's one of the old mothers that was in our ministry for years in another church. She used to say, God is good all the time. I want you to take that with you. God is good all the time. Say it, God is good all the time. Because sometimes what we think is good is bad. And other times what we think is bad is good. Because we're trying to figure it out with our intellect. And the scripture tells us in the Old Testament, lean not to what?
Your own understanding.
And always. And he would know what? He's a lamp. A light. And if you knew the way, you wouldn't need anyone to guide you. And I tell you, we don't know any of the way. So our life is about Christ. 3 minutes, I'm down. So all of these components are spoken from the vantage point of your eternal being. So they are sourced as conveying their components as currently sourced in existence beyond the confines of their manifestation arena. So they have a look around and make a final assessment of things. Have any of you ever asked the Lord, what is this for? Most of us just say, what is this? That's not the most informed question. Most informed, Lord, what is this for? What is your purpose in this? So we have process versus purpose. Processes are the functions we see. Purpose is what God has for that. And this is why sometimes he suspends the process for the purpose. And this is why you can't look at person A and say, well, if they did this, and you see, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. No. What's good for the goose could kill the gander. No. What does God have in mind for you?
Glory. Yes.
So it conveys what is present without successions and sequences. So according to Ephesians 2 and 5, and we're through, our life is in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And has been and always has been.
Yes.
You have never left eternity.
Never.
You have never left Christ.
Never.
Your conscience is like Dorothy. You're in this world and man, it is beating you up. It's giving... everybody here has some problem. Man, this sickness and you said eternal life. I'm glad this isn't it. They have to put up with this body forever. I speak for myself. Not this body. Nope. Even with my sickness I've had, Lord knows how sick I've been. I get a new pain every day. Wake up and say, "Ooh!" I said, "What? Who are you?" He said, "Well, let me introduce myself to you." Young people, I used to look at Mother Chowell and some of the others, and you know, Mother says she's coming to church sometimes. Oh, darling, my, and this, and he was playing, and I couldn't even resonate what they were talking about. I know now. Just keep on living.
That's all.
I see sometimes my granddaughters downstairs, they cooking late at night and eating. Ooh. But I used to do that. If I do that now, ooh, boy. Keep living. Arthritis in my knees that have gone to my ankles. My back, my hand. I was in the doctor 2 days ago and I was telling him about some of the things. He laughed, he smiled. I said, "What's up? What's up?" He said, "You're not telling me anything that a person your age is not dealing with."
Lord.
Yes,
and we're going back.
Yes, yes.
We're going home.
Yes.
One day, I'm going to take off corruption.
Hallelujah.
Put on incorruption.
Hallelujah.
One day, I'm going to take off dishonor and putting on honor.
Yes.
One day, I'm taking off this physical body and putting on the spiritual essence of Christ. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. I'm going to be caught up. Can you say caught up?
Caught up.
Oh, I better quit. God bless you.